The primary element that separated Israel from the rest of all nations was the fact that they worshiped one God. There were nations that worship and exalted a multitude of gods. Israel worshiped one God. Now, to them, for many, many years, the primary manifestation of that one God was through the words of a prophet. He was revealed through the words of the prophet. If you go back, of course, and in their history and their understanding, there were manifestations of physical dimension that were in a pillar of a cloud, a pillar of a fire, and they were associated with the tabernacle and God's design of a physical holy place made with animal skins, made with some brass, some things they melted down, made with some wood. But it was a holy place because God manifested his presence there physically. When the priest would go in and make sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, when the sacrifice was accepted of God, there was a manifestation of fire that consumed the sacrifice. We read about a glory cloud, a Shekinah. We read about a burning bush. And so God manifesting himself to men at times took on physical form. Now, one of the most interesting times and manifestations was when the man Christ Jesus was being baptized in Jordan by his cousin. Because here the manifestation of the Son of God stood in the water, the Spirit descending upon him like as a dove. So I don't think there was a bird. And a voice speaking out saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell." Not "he has made me happy." And so to the Jew, to the mindset of the Hebrew, there was a certain amount of abstractness to the Yahweh or the YHVH of the Old Testament. The God of all. The one Lord that they spoke of in Deuteronomy 6 that they were to teach their children. Israel, the Lord our God. That makes us different than anybody else is one. And they were instructed, teach this to your children. And so from generation to generation, they were instructed and taught. Then we come into a later season, into the New Testament. We approach the New Testament. We come to the end of the Old Testament. When Scripture describes it this way, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, our ministry is, be ye reconciled unto God. I see a picture, I see a description of the pages that says, this is what I see. They're sitting around the fire. Maybe there's a fire. Maybe there's food on the fire. Tacos, bow tie, I don't know. Probably a lamb. Lamb ain't very good. But he's looking out at them. He's thinking. I'm talking about the man Christ Jesus. He's thinking and he says, hey guys, who do men say that I am? Well, you know, I heard some guys say that thou art, you know, this and thou art this. You're John the Baptist, come back. You're this, you're that. You're the prophet. But who do you say that I am? Is this a trick question? What's he going to say if we say this? These are human beings talking to him, and them, him talking to them. Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah that was to come. Jesus' response is, hey, that's pretty good, Simon. Flesh and blood did not reveal this. You did not figure this out on your own, fisherman. But by the Spirit of revelation, God's revealed himself and is telling you. Okay, so we see these times in Scripture of God wanting to reveal himself to men. To mankind, that we might know him. Oftentimes in the teachings, Jesus would begin to tell a parable, and in the parable, you know, he would identify with their humanity. You know, any of you having children, and that child would ask of them a piece of bread, would you give him a rock? Would you give him something? In other words, how would you respond to your children? And he always followed up his parables by saying, how much more your heavenly Father? In other words, I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to reveal myself to you because I want you to know me. Not just know of me, not just know about me. I want you to come into a relationship and to know me. But still, he was still in presentation form. He was leading them along to a place. Because even in the abstractness of the omnipresent spirit that fills his universe, that Hebrew says wrapped himself in the veil of flesh. He was trying to bring them to a place of understanding of his revealing to them. Now, they weren't aware, they didn't know that there would come a point that he was going to allow for that flesh to die on a cross. They didn't know. So, leading them along. Now, to many, he was gentle. He was kind. He was tender-hearted. He was soft-spoken. But I find in Scripture, there were those that held such a religious position in life. He was brash. He was straight. He was hard. At times he was threatening. Oh, this is the same one. racing ahead when the Holy Ghost was outpoured. It happened in Jerusalem around a Jewish festival, Pentecost. And somehow the word got out. Did you hear? That kid down at Fred Meyer, he got the Holy Ghost. All the managers are talking about it. What is that? Well, they say he began to speak in another language. And so the Bible says it was noised abroad. And that drew interested people coming, wanting to know. And they were Jews out of every nation. Because they were there celebrating a holiday. And wanting to know what was this that was going on. Some of them mocked. I seen them. Yeah, I heard them. In the break room last week, he didn't think anybody was around. He started praying over his lunch, started speaking in tongues. And so they mocked, saying, some are, you know, they look like they're drunk on new wine. But Peter stood up among the 11. And he began to communicate a Bible study to them. He took them through the Old Testament scriptures, knowing where they came from educationally in the Bible, in the law. And brought them up to a place. And then he laid it on them. And with this one line, this one sentence, this one piece of communication, when he said, let all the house of Israel, all of you Jews, know assuredly that God, that abstract Yahweh, Spirit God of our entire Old Testament history, hath made that same Jesus, whom, by the way, you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one of the Old Testament. And that one who was to come, that Messiah, the Christ, God has made him both Lord and Christ. The scripture says they didn't reflect on his pain. They didn't reflect on his suffering. It had nothing to do with the blood. But when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. I'd been baptized about 3 weeks. I was sitting on the front pew at the church at 1118 McKinley Avenue. Brother Leslie was preaching. I don't know what he was preaching about. It really didn't matter. Because as I sat there, all of a sudden, my concept of what I understood, having attended that little Nazarene church in Dover, New Jersey, got rearranged in a moment. And when I begin to understand that he who robed himself in flesh and came in the form of a servant in the likeness of men, he was the one that went to the cross for me. It adjusted my whole concept, my whole understanding. These men on this day, these were many people of many walks, of all kinds. Some of them were involved in temple work. Many of them common people, but Jewish by their heritage. And by their teachings and by their education of the law. And so there was something different this day when Peter began to speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and revelation or revealing came. And they all of a sudden begin to realize they had crucified the one they'd been waiting for. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what do we do? And Peter gave a simple answer. You can go look that up for yourself, the answer. Be Acts, right after Acts 2 to 37. I want to read a different situation here to you. In John chapter 8, as I sat getting ready this morning, this scripture came to me. I want to read this. The scripture can talk to us. I'm not going to give you some long explanation of this. I just want to read you this portion in John 8. This is an encounter. This is a conversation. At verse 19, then said they unto him, where's thy father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my father. If you had known me, you should have known my father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him. It was a very provoking statement that he made to them. And they would have. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come. He said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, in italics, meaning inserted. So the original statement was, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now, let's go back to the idea of him asking his closest disciples, so who's everybody saying that I am? And then, a little closer, and so what are you getting from all that? Who do you say? Do you gather that somehow this is an important part of his thought processes, that he would come back again and ask in his attempts to reveal? And so where are we with this? Who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? And so here we have now, he's not with his 12 disciples, or the disciples, he's not with the apostles. He is with a group that has gathered as his critics. And they are schooled. Oh, yeah. They got their scrolls. They've got their laws. They've got their Old Testament traditions. And they're saying now, who are you? Where did you come from? Where is your father that you speak? He's speaking back, trying once again to share and to reveal. Okay, where was I? Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. The beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Now, here's where the confusion comes in. This sounds like a dialogue between two persons. This sounds like people talking. Well, he said, she said. He told me, I'm telling you. Without the realization that the Father is the Spirit of God that indwelled the Son, the physical body, this holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is the angel talking to either Mary and Joseph, but revealing and says this thing. This, now we would never call a baby a thing. But the angel did. Because he's not referencing, look, the personality of this guy, the personage of this guy. The angel said, this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So we realize it was that vessel that housed God too. No. The only omnipresent spirit that the Jews ever worshipped. Old Testament scholars, watch. He stepped down off of the mercy seat where he dwelled. And he then pressed through the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And wrapped himself in the veil of flesh when he was born. He came to the brazen laver of water when he stood before John. Suffer it to be so. I am to be baptized. And he was baptized down in the river Jordan. Pray with me right now. Come on, pray with me right now. Let it be clear, Father. Let it be revealed, Father. From the river Jordan he left, and he went on and went up to a cross of Calvary where they drove through nails in his hands, where he was the propitiation or the once and final sacrifice for our sins. He went to the brazen altar. The Old Testament description is starting at the brazen altar, going to the brazen laver, then going into the holy place, taking the bread. He said, I am the bread of life. Then the golden candlesticks. He said, I am the light of the world. And then into the holy place where the manifestation of the glory of God dwelt. But the New Testament describes him. Holy place out. Verse 26. I have many things to say and to judge of you. And he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, he inserted, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. He that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. Philip, I and the Father are one. If you'd known me, you'd know the Father. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. He spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know that the truth, or you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage. What are you talking about? How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." Some of these people were the religious elite. And he's telling them now, my word has no place in you, and that's why you're trying to kill me. This is why I'm a problem to you. This is why Saul was on the road to Damascus. He was schooled by the best. He had all the religious education in the world, but he didn't know who in the world. Who art thou, Lord? Well, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which ye have seen with your father. Whoops. They answered and said unto him, Abraham's our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You see, they're stuck. They're still stuck in a tabernacle experience. In a book of a law experience. They're stuck in time. They've not progressed. The light moved and they didn't move. The pillar of fire moved. And they never picked up camp. They got stuck in time. And without revelation, there's no moving forward. There were those that couldn't hear his voice, else they would have followed him. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then saith unto him, or verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Can you feel this conversation between these? It's intense. It's growing intense. And it's like I'm talking and you're not hearing. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your... Is he going to say it? Is he going to say it? You're of your father that... I can't even say it. I mean, look, they've convinced themselves they got it. And ain't nobody else got it. Everybody else is an outcast. We are the righteous few. Mm-hmm. And he's about to tell them, you got it wrong. You stopped. You quit moving. You're no longer. I'm just saying. This is his conversation. We're just kind of listening in. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. This is just a little insert, little side thing. Just a little comedy. Bring some relief here. I was with a guy one time, and he was casting devils out of this person. And he was our, you know, he was trying to instruct us, others that were there with him. And so he's praying with this guy, and he's laying the Bible on his head, and he's saying, "Tell me your name." And I'm thinking, "You gonna believe him? Why are you asking his name? He's gonna tell you Bob. And you're gonna start casting out Bob. And then he's gonna say, "Nope, Jim. He's the father of lies from the beginning. You can't believe him. You only exercise authority over him." Okay, let's go back. Verse 45. "And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You hear therefore them not, because you are not of God." "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I don't have a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets that are dead? Who makest thou thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then said the Jews unto him, "You're not even 50 years old. What's he talking about? And hast thou seen Abraham?" I like this part. He's got him. He's got him where he wants him. And now he's going to lay it on him. "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I was there then, and I, just as well as I am here now, I am the same. I am the one." He's the one through the whole of Scripture has sought to reveal himself to man. Yet we're living in a religious world and society that has confuse the matter. It's you that we look to, Father. It's you that we look to. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in regeneration. Hallelujah. It is you alone, Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all, through all, in us all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. It ought to ring when you call out the name of Jesus Christ. Peter and John were accused as they taught in the name of Jesus. What were they teaching? They were teaching and repeating what Peter spoke at Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But word got out. Word spread, and God used him. There was a guy at the temple, and he had never walked, ever. Peter and John were just going to the church for a prayer meeting. But something quickened. This is the difference, Jared, between being religious and having been filled with His Spirit. The inspiration, the well, the river of life that now dwells within. That's what Peter had. This is what John had. And just walking along, something, when he spoke, there was a word in it registered in their spirit. And all he was saying was what he was saying to everybody. Alms. Alms to the poor. Give me alms. And Peter's response, quickened by the Holy Ghost, spoke words that he'd probably never spoke to anybody in the lunchroom. Silver and gold have I none. Hallelujah. I don't even know where this is coming from. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he went leaping and walking and praising God into the temple. And this brought a stirring and a problem, because now we got manifestation of God and power through the lives of individuals and believers. And now the religious right is all upset. Who gave you authority to use that name? And they beat him. They whipped him. And said, don't ever teach in this name again. The only name under heaven given among men, whereby, careful now, here we go. Whereby we ought to be, should be. It's a good idea. Whereby we must be saved. So tell me this. In 2 Peter, it's relayed to us about Noah and the 8 souls that were saved as a like figure. As a pattern of what's to come, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. We see the marrying of these scriptures together and throughout the book of Acts, that when people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, their sin was remitted, forgiven. Let's pray again. Why? Because the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved is applied in the waters of baptism. Okay, so things got a little switcheroo here. You know, everything went fine down in Samaria. Philip went down preaching the gospel, and sounds to me like all of Samaria got baptized and people were receiving deliverance. Nobody got the Holy Ghost, though. And then the Lord called him to go to another place. Peter and John came down. They began to pray for them, and God began to fill them with the Holy Ghost. So we know it was a physical manifestation to be seen, mostly heard, because one man desired to buy that. Before times, he had made out that he was some great one and that he was operating by the power of God. But now Philip coming on the scene, it became evident to all that wasn't the power of God operating in Simon. But Simon said, Philip, I'm just going to kind of hang with you, man. You and me, we're going to be in ministry together. Let's stay close. I'll just be your sidekick. Until Peter and John comes down. Spirit of revelation begins to operate. Discernment. And Peter says, you got no lot with us. He's making an effort to make a purchase so that whoever he lays hands on, they would receive the Holy Ghost. Because he kind of liked that thing where people kind of looked at him like he was God. Come on. And so, moving ahead, the Lord sends, there's a guy that's praying. There's a guy praying. Cornelius. He has a knowledge of God. It's limited, but he has a knowledge, and he is seeking God in a relationship. He's living a lifestyle of doing things that he believed is right, giving to people and praying always and fasting. He's hungry for God, and he's doing what he knows to do in his beseeching the Lord. Altogether, who the Lord is. He's going based on some knowledge that was given, and he's, you know, looking up to the heavenlies, and again, he's fasting, he's praying, he's doing good works. Many today would call him a born-again believer, but he wasn't born again. He didn't know. He needed knowledge. So, he says, oh, the Lord says, you, angel on the left, go down and see him. Talk to him. Tell him there's a guy up the coast. He's hanging out with another guy up the coast who, you know, tans hides. Real illustrious, religious career prophet. No, he's a tanner. So he tells Cornelius. And he sends men. They go get him. Of course, now he's got to nudge the preacher. This is me. I'm setting this up for you. Yeah, but. We've never hung around with those kind of people before. They're Gentiles. We're Jews. It's never been done this way. Okay, let's have this conversation again. Sit down. Watch the pictures. Sheet falls down with animals in it. Really basic this time. And Peter's. Okay, hold on. Race that. Let's do this again. Sit over here. Put on these glasses. Watch this. No, I can't. And the Lord's saying, rise, kill, and eat. No, I can't touch an unclean thing. Well, you know. He's trying to ready him for what's just ahead down the road. That is the miraculous hand of God to a generation of people. Amen. He ain't convinced. All right, let's just forget this thing. They're at the door now. Go answer the door. funny. Sounds kind of stupid.
But it's reality.
This is how real it ought to be for us in our lives. So Peter goes, but he ain't going alone. The word will get back. I'll be blackballed. They'll say, nope, not Peter. So he grabs him, I don't know, six or seven other Jews, his brothers, and says, come on, go with us. And so here they go. They show up a party. We were told to come here by God.
Right.
No, actually, they were sent for. There were those that went and got them. Anyway, so, you know, Peter, he's human, but he is a Holy Ghost-filled believer. He's been ministering for a while now, and there's a sensitivity operating in his life, and so he senses, okay, there's something different going on here. I'm feeling something. And God starts talking to him about his perspective of the people he's looking at. And he said, I perceive. He didn't perceive. God discerned. But he did perceive something about God and what God was doing in this moment and bringing these people together
right.
from all nations under every tongue. You want to get a picture of what it's going to be like in heaven? And so he starts, you know, somewhere. Okay, let's, Joseph and Mary. Mary got pregnant. They got on a little horsey and they rode into town and there was a barn and nobody would let them stay anywhere, so they stayed in the barn. You know, he's starting really basic and just kind of bringing them along. And God's like, I should have had John come. I can't believe he's doing this. I can't wait any longer. The Holy Ghost gets poured out upon them. While he's yet speaking, he ain't even the thing that he laid in. He's not even to the manger. And the Holy Ghost is outpoured. How do we know? They begin to speak with other tongues just like we did. And Peter said, who can forbid them water? Water for what? They're not thirsty. To be baptized. For they have received the Holy Ghost just like we did. Now he's talking to the Jews, his boys. And so, it may have gotten turned around here a little bit in this situation. But now he feels under pressure or under commandment from God or inspiration to say. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, there was a Holy Ghost regeneration, but biblically and legally, their sin had not been dealt with. Look, just because they raised their hands and said, I accept the Lord, didn't deal with their sin. Because the word hasn't changed. Repentance and water baptism is the New Testament application of the blood that washes, that cleanses, that remits, that forgives my sin. This is why we can walk ahead from that and say, if many men sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who? Christ Jesus the righteous. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's when I've been baptized in Jesus' name. We have to get the whole thing. Do a study. Read up on it. See it. See it for yourself. Embrace it as yours. Not something you heard. It's what he wants to do for you. Why don't you stand with me? We will all see a day before a throne. those with knees. How's that going to play out, you wonder? The scripture says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is here, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one. Father in creation, Son in redemption, Holy Ghost in regeneration. I don't know if you ever thought about this. I'm sure the angel, you know, angels, they err, right? They think. I mean, he could have slipped up when he said, she is a child of the Holy Ghost. Shouldn't he have said, she is a child of the Father? She had the Son. And now don't spend too much time here. Be careful. That's not what was said. She was found of child of the Holy Ghost. Okay, little. Unless the Father and the Holy Ghost are one, that cannot be true. That's when it was said, this holy thing, in thee shall be called the Son of God. Why was it expedient for Jesus to go away? In his earthly ministry as the man, revealing the Father in the Son, why did he say, it's expedient that I go away? It's expedient for you that I go away. But I will come again unto you. What was he talking about? Until he left in the dimension that he was walking in then and came back as the regeneration of the Holy Ghost in filling us, you know, I gotta go so I can come back, so I can infill you so you can walk in a dimension that you've never walked. This is why he said, greater works than these shall you do. I go into my Father. How is it that we become the body of Christ? It's the indwelling. It's not the associating with. It's the indwelling. Somebody receive the Holy Ghost here today. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Would you come? Would you avail yourself to the Holy One of Israel?